VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And friends, thank you for joining us on Crosstalk here on VCY America. You know, we cover a lot of heavy issues and topics on this program, and perhaps some that get you rather down. And today we want to be an encouragement to you in your life. And I'm just wondering, do you struggle in your faith as you observe this world that's falling apart? I mean, every day you wake up wondering what's going to happen next. Will I be able to survive? I mean, we observe a political system that is really run amok. More of our freedoms are being taken while the system gains control. There's unrest in the world, and we wonder when or where the next military action will take place. We see problems in our healthcare system with escalating rates and longer wait times and denial of care in some cases. Our education system is doing more brainwashing than educating, it seems. Uprisings are taking place even as we speak on university campuses. Inflation is off the charts, and we wonder what the next grocery item will be that I can no longer afford. And while this is going on, there's this growing animosity toward Christianity and greater intolerance of Christian values and beliefs. Are these things rocking your boat? You know, the early church in Philippi was distressed. They were distressed over very terrible things that had happened to the Apostle Paul, his imprisonment in Caesarea, his shipwreck in Malta, his looming trial in Rome. Would Paul ever see freedom again? And yet, while Paul was imprisoned, the church provided him with both personal support and financial support. Paul, being filled with gratitude, sent this inspiring letter, which we know today as the Book of Philippians. It's a book that helps us stay strong in our faith, even as a world falls apart. Joining us today, we welcome back to Crosstalk Robert J. Morgan. He is leader of Robert J. Morgan Ministries, a nonprofit organization whose goal is to energize God's people with a greater understanding and appreciation of the Bible and also of Christian heritage. He has served in pastoral ministry for over four decades. He's a best-selling author, over 35 books in print. He's been with us several times on Crosstalk discussing some of his many books, Then Sings My Soul, The Red Sea Rules, Jordan River Rules, 100 Bible Verses That Made America, 50 Final Events in World History, Great Is Thy Faithfulness, and others. And he's with us today discussing his book, Whatever Happens, Standing Firm When the World is Falling Apart. Robert, thanks for joining us here today on Crosstalk.
It's my pleasure, Jim. Thank you very much.
What was your catalyst for your writing this book, Whatever Happens?
I have studied the Book of Philippians for 50 years. I have preached from it. I've taught from it. It has so many encouraging verses. It's a very short book. You can read it in less than 10 minutes, only four chapters, but it is packed with incredible truth. It has a very interesting organization. The background behind it is interesting. And the key verse tells us that whatever happens, we must conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the Christ. And I thought this is the time when our nation and our church needs that message.
Yeah.
So the Lord just helped me to articulate it the way that this book has come out.
Yeah, many times we look at the Book of Philippians and right away we'll say, oh, that's a book about rejoicing. And indeed, rejoicing in the midst of trials is in this book, but there's so much more there, isn't there?
Yes, joy is a sub-theme of the book. It shows up 16 times in this little book, so it certainly was on Paul's mind. But the main theme is whatever happens, stand firm.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, which indicates that Paul didn't know what was going to happen. There's a lot of uncertainty in our world today, and we ourselves, even though we may know Christ or be walking in the Spirit, and we may have biblical prophecy in our hands in the Bible, we don't know what's going to happen geopolitically. We don't know what's going to happen tomorrow with our finances. As you were saying, there is unrest everywhere, and we don't know what's going to happen in our personal lives. But whatever happens, we know this, that we can conduct ourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. And the Book of Philippians explains to us what that means.
Amen. And we'll be looking into some of the details of the book. But if you would begin, just give us an overview of the book. I see you've got 31 rather short chapters that really can be used as a devotional.
I tried to make it a very practical book. You can read through it a chapter a day for a month. The chapters are not very long, but every one of them is drawn out of the text of Philippians.
Mm-hmm.
So I've gone through it exegetically. I'm a pastor. I believe in expositional preaching. I don't like to take things out of content. But we have in Philippians a rather long introduction in which Paul talks about himself and his own circumstances. And then at the end of chapter 1, he says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of Christ, and he states his theme. And then in chapter 2, he illustrates what that means by giving us the example of Christ and of Timothy and of this man Epaphroditus. And in chapter 3, he gives us himself as an example. And he says, follow my example, be an imitator of me. And then he wraps it up in chapter 4, verse 1, saying, so whatever happens, this is how you stand firm in Christ.
Wow.
And then the rest of the book is an extended conclusion. So we have this great, in the middle of the book, I mean, from chapter 1, verse 27 to chapter 4, verse 1, we have this theme, what does it mean to stand firm? And it's illustrated by these four men, Christ and Timothy, Epaphroditus and Paul. And we can put our names in there as well.
Well, friends, it's a very practical book and one to really encourage you to, indeed, whatever happens, to stand firm in your faith. Yes, even as this world falls apart. Well, Pastor Morgan, to get to the book of Philippians, we actually have to start in Acts chapter 16, as you do in your book. Unfold for us what is happening in this section of Scripture.
It's a fascinating story because the Apostle Paul was coming back from his third missionary journey. He was wanting to go on to his fourth journey, but all of that got upended. And so he ended up going, as you said in your introduction, he was nearly arrested and nearly assassinated in Jerusalem. In Caesarea, he spent 2 years in prison there. He was put on board a ship. It sailed into a hurricane. He ended up being shipwrecked on Malta, and he was promptly bitten by a serpent there. And finally, he made it to Rome, where he was placed under house arrest again. And the Philippians had heard of all of this, and it disturbed them very much because they love the Apostle Paul. He had won them to Christ with the shedding of his own blood in Acts chapter 16 when he was flogged in Philippi. And so they wanted to send him a gift and a helper.
Hmm.
So they took up an offering, sent it by this man Epaphroditus, and he arrived, found Paul under house arrest, or maybe he'd been moved to a cell closer to the tribunal if his hearing was close at hand. And Paul wrote back to thank them for the letter, for the money they sent.
Mm-hmm.
And he sent Epaphroditus back with this letter. And that's the background. It's a very vivid background of people who were very concerned about Paul. And Paul was writing back to thank them for that gift, and also to tell them how to live in a way that they could have joy, even if unexpected things happen.
Yeah, and those unexpected things do happen, and we face that in our lives, and that's why your book is so practical as you point these things out. And matter of fact, you point out the truth, dealing with X, that God's will for our lives is sometimes perplexing, so we walk by faith. We really don't know what's going to unfold next for us, do we?
No, and the Apostle Paul didn't either. I mean, on some occasions, Paul was able to tell us what's going to happen in the future. He told us about the rapture of the church. He told us about the third heaven that he was caught up to, and he told us what's going to happen when the Lord comes and we're changed in the twinkling of an eye. But when it came to what was going to happen in his own circumstances, whether he'd be released or executed or just imprisoned permanently, he didn't know. And he didn't know what was going to happen to the Philippians because they were facing pressures of their own. But he said, whatever happens, here's what to do. And, you know, we live in a very uncertain world. We just don't know when there might be a terrorist attack or when there could be a plague, when there could be a nuclear war, when things could spin out of control. We don't know what's going to happen in our personal lives, when we might get a bad call in the middle of the night or have a bad appointment or report from the doctor. There is uncertainty in life, but we have a certain Savior.
Amen.
And he tells us what we need to have in order to be useful and to be joyful and to be strong and to be unintimidated.
Yeah.
And that's a very important part of this book, is don't be intimidated by those who oppose you.
You know, you also write that God's will for our lives is progressive. That's why we keep knocking on doors. Pastor Morgan, how do we discern if this is really a door God has opened, or is it me just using a battering ram to force open a door?
Well, I've had experiences with that all my life. And so when I read about Paul's coming to Philippi to begin with in Acts 15 and 16, he traveled 1,000 miles to get to Troas across Turkey from south to north and east to west. And the Holy Spirit said, don't do this, don't go there. The Spirit of Jesus wouldn't let him preach here. He just had a lot of closed doors until he got to the one that opened for him. And in Troas, he saw the man from Macedonia saying, come over here and help us in Europe. And that changed the whole trajectory of Paul's ministry. He had 1,000 miles of closed doors to get to the one open door that God had for him. And it only stands to reason that there, for every one thing that the Lord wants us to do, there may be 100 things he doesn't. So in my life, I've had, for example, Jim, when I wanted to begin pastoring as a young man, there were 12 different churches that turned me down. And I mean, I was so discouraged by the time the 12th one came along. But now I'm looking back, and I'm thankful that every one of those 12 said no, because finally, the church that God did want me in, a little wonderful church in the country that gave me a very good start in pastoring, that one opened up. So when people don't get the promotion they want, they don't get in the school they want, they don't get the loan that they had hoped to get, or the job closed up on them, or they face some kind of disappointment, well, the Lord can be in that. Sometimes we look back and think more for the closed doors than for the open ones. It doesn't mean that we're totally passive. We can knock on doors. And so as I go through life and I want to do something, or I have an opportunity that I think would be good, then I'll knock on those doors. But I don't try to force them open. If the Lord wants to open them, he can do it. And his guidance is impeccable.
Indeed it is. You've been on Crosstalk before and on different occasions, and one of those occasions we interviewed you on your 3-book series, Then Sings My Soul, on the old hymns of the faith, and you've got a chapter on in this new book here on building your own mental hymn book in reference to Acts chapter 16. Tell us what a mental hymn book is and why you believe that's so important.
When Paul and Silas were beaten in Philippi and they were thrown into prison, they were in stocks in the middle of the dungeon in the midnight hour, and they didn't have any hymn book. And if they had, they couldn't have reached it because they were in stocks. They didn't have any words projected against the walls, but they had memorized songs in their hearts, and they began singing them. And, Jim, there is so much therapy, not only to memorizing Scripture, but to knowing the words of the classic hymns. And when I wake up at night, sometimes I'll begin quoting Scripture to myself. Other times, it'll be like an orchestra in my mind, singing, What a Friend We Have in Jesus, and Oh, for 1,000 tongues to sing. And it's a tremendous spiritual therapy and discipline to have an internal hymn book. And what would Paul and Silas have done if they didn't have those songs in their heart?
Friends, we're going to pick up with this discussion following the break. We're speaking with Robert Morgan, author of Whatever Happens, How to Stand Firm in Your Faith When the World is Falling Apart. Lessons, really, from the book of Philippians. We'll have more discussion following the break. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, scientist and creation researcher with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, what can you tell me about Neanderthal man?
Chris, from a biblical perspective, Neanderthal man was a human just like me or you. They evidently were an ethnic group that migrated away from Babel, living in very harsh conditions, but were human nonetheless. Archaeological discoveries have shown that they used agriculture, they buried their dead, they had art, musical instruments, they were humans just like me and you. Those who assigned them to subhuman categories suggested that they didn't have the right kind of hands to use tools. But a recent study has shown that they had thumb and forefingers just like ours, with just as much dexterity. In every sense, they were as human as you and me, descendants of Noah, souls for whom Christ died. Going back to Genesis makes all the data fit so well.
Thanks, Dr. Morris. For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and friends, sometimes it just seems like, well, you look out at the window and you look at the news of the day, the world is falling apart. How do we stand firm? Well, our guest today, Robert Morgan, in the pastoral ministry for many decades, has authored a book, Whatever Happens, Standing Firm When the World is Falling Apart, and has 31 brief chapters from the book of Philippians that will guide you, and of course, Acts 16 that takes Paul to Philippi, and we see the just the background that got him to this point. And we're discussing that today. And friends, just to encourage you, and I do want to make mention that our VCY bookstore is offering this brand new book, Whatever Happens, How to Stand Firm in Your Faith When the World is Falling Apart. It's being featured as a book of the month. And the book is hardcover. It's 250 pages, just released from the publishers. As we said, 31 short chapters, easy reading, but filled with biblical truth. The book retails as a hardcover book for $28.99. However, through the end of this month, and that's coming quickly, April 30th, 2024, the VCY bookstore is offering this book at 50% off. That's just $14.49 plus any applicable tax and or shipping. It's available right now at vcy.com. That's vcy.com. Or you may call our bookstore at 1-888-722-4829. That's 1-888-722-4829. And again, our bookstore worked with the publisher to get this just as low as possible to get it in your hands. And we're trusting, Pastor Morgan, that this is really going to be an encouragement to people as they go through the biblical truths and principles found in this book.
Well, I've never seen it offered that cheaply or that inexpensively. So I appreciate your doing that. And Philippians is such an encouraging book that when people tell me that they've memorized a book in the Bible, I can almost guess that it's Philippians,
yes.
And it very often is, because it's memorizable, but it's full of these encouraging, rich verses and statements.
And friends, just keep in mind that is only good through the end of April, April 30th, so take advantage, vcy.com or 1-888-722-4829. Pastor Morgan, your second chapter is interesting. You indicate that whatever happens, layer your life with generosity. And I saw that title and I said, wow, Dr. Morgan, aren't you aware of what inflation is doing right now? Many will find they have more month left at the end of their money. So speak to this area of generosity and how you see this coming out through the book of Philippians.
Well, when Paul established the church in the city of Philippi, it was made up of a wealthy businesswoman, a slave girl, a jailer and his family, and some of the prisoners. But for some reason, they loved Paul, and they loved the Lord. And so even when he left town, he had no sooner been gone than they took up an offering and sent it to him in Thessalonica. And wherever he went, they would continue to support him. And he said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and 9, he said, if you want to have an example of what a great church is in its giving, then look at the churches of Macedonia. And, well, the church in Philippi was the primary church in Macedonia. He said, God has given them grace so that in spite of their deep poverty, he said, and their overwhelming afflictions, they have still welled up in rich generosity to help me again and again. And we probably wouldn't have the book of Philippians today if it hadn't been for the generosity of this one church. They financed, as it were, the writing of the book of Philippians. They financed the ministry and large part of the Apostle Paul. And what a blessing it is now. If they had spent that money on themselves, well, no one would have known about it. They'd have died in the first century and everything would have turned to dust.
Wow.
But they invested that in the kingdom. And now for 2,000 years, it's been a blessing to other people.
Amen. Amen. I'm going to hit a number of different principles you bring out in your book. And here's another one. Sometimes we get really frustrated with ourselves and ask ourselves the question, you know, why do I struggle? Why does it seem I'm always spinning my wheels? Why can't I get a hold of things? You indicate we need to remember God is still working on us. This is really a lifelong process, isn't it?
It is. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6 says, the one who has begun a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. Jim, when I was writing this book and working on this chapter, I was reading in the Old Testament, and it talked about how the people were working on the building of the temple, and it is continuing to this day. And I thought, that's me. You know, the Lord has started working on me, and it's continuing to this day.
Yes.
I mean, here I am, 71, and I still have so much to learn and so much grace to acquire, but it is that lifelong process. God is still working on us, and we shouldn't get too discouraged with ourselves if we have, you know, lapses and momentary failures, as long as the trajectory of our life is becoming, some people say, sanctified. I like the word Christified. We are becoming more and more like Jesus Christ. We can't do it by ourselves, but the one who began a good work in us will carry it on to completion.
Amen. Amen. And a matter of fact, in your book, you distinguish between justification, sanctification, and glorification, and that really talks about that process here, doesn't it?
Yeah, I put in the book a little diagram that someone showed me when I was in college that helped me a lot. The moment that we receive Christ as Savior, we are justified, that is, we are saved from the penalty of our sins. Throughout our lives, we are being sanctified or Christified. We're being saved increasingly from the power of our sins. Mm-hmm. And at a moment when we see the Lord Jesus, we will be glorified, we'll be saved from the very presence of sin, and that's the past, present, and future of our total salvation experience. So some people think that their salvation experience is just a matter of receiving Christ as Savior back in the past. Well, that's the beginning of it, and that's, you know, the important thing that gets us in Christ and gives us a secure future. But there is this process of growth and the process of being perfected when we see the Lord Jesus in heaven and enjoying Him in a sinless environment, and all of that is under this great umbrella of salvation.
In another chapter, you encourage the reader to invigorate their life through prayer. And it seems we use, you know, prayer like a spare tire today. We bring it out only in cases of emergency. What lesson can we learn from the Apostle Paul as it pertains to prayer?
Well, the first thing he did in his book was to thank God for the Philippians and to pray for them. Mm-hmm. And he listed out the prayer that he prayed for them, and he seemed to relish in doing it. I think that sometimes we think of prayer as a drudgery, and admittedly, you know, occasionally it's that way for me. But Paul seemed to be reinvigorated by prayer, and who wouldn't? If you can come into the presence of the most energetic personality with endless might and power and glory, and you can sit in that presence for a while and tell him how great he is and how great your needs are, then, you know, we should come away invigorated by that. And I will just say in my own experience, when I wake up in the morning and I get shower and get dressed, the most important and my favorite part of the day is sitting down at the little desk I have in my bedroom. I'm a widower. But I've got this little desk that overlooks the front yard and a bird feeder, and I open my Bible and I open my prayer book and I spend that time with the Lord. And everything else that I do during the day sort of flows out of that experience. And I would just encourage everyone listening to find a similar pattern in your life that allows you to do what Jesus said, to go into your room, close the door, and spend time with your Father in secret.
Yeah, and matter of fact, the news of the day really, frankly, gets us down, and you even talk about replacing gloomy thoughts with glorious ones. That's what Paul did, didn't he?
Yes, so the Philippians were so worried about the fact that Paul had been arrested in Jerusalem, had been housed in Caesarea, had been shipwrecked, had been snake-bitten, and now was facing trial before Rome. They were tremendously concerned about all of that, not only because they loved him, but because of the threat that that posed to the entire Christian movement. And Paul wrote back and he said, the things that have happened to me have actually worked out for the furtherance of the gospel.
Yeah.
You're looking at all of this with gloom, and I'm looking at all of this because it's working out for good. He said, I am imprisoned here by Praetorian Guard members, the elite troops, the Navy SEALs of the Roman Empire, And they're interested in what I have to say, and they've been coming to Christ, and they're being flung out all over the empire to the outposts of Rome, and they are going as evangelists now because, well, they were chained to me, and I was able to lead them to Christ. He said, they are taking the gospel in places I could never have gone. Right. Now, I'm paraphrasing and expanding what he was saying.
Mm-hmm.
But then he said, not only that, but people in the church who have been a little bit timid have been emboldened by my example, and they're sharing more.
Right.
So he said, all of this has worked out, and we need to learn. He was thinking in terms of Romans 8:28 about his experiences. And when we do that, then the same thing happens to us. We trade in gloomy thoughts for glorious ones.
Yeah, indeed. And the gospel was furthered as a result. Pastor Morgan, you indicate we should have a life motto. What was Paul's motto?
Well, I think that his motto was to live as Christ and to die as gain, Philippians 1:27. Because in the Greek, and Paul wrote this in the Greek language, it is very succinct and alliterative. The word Christ is Christos. The word gain is kerdos. So he was saying to live Christos, to die kerdos. Mm. And that's a motto that we can adopt for our own. If we live, it's to serve the Lord here. That's what Paul was saying. He said, I think that I'm going to survive this and come back and see you and continue to serve the Lord. But if not, I'll go to be with him, which is far better, he said, to depart and be with Christ. So to live is Christ, to die is gain. And if that were our motto, it would change even our priorities.
It would.
In life every day.
Friends, there's so much to unpack in this book, but the clock is moving faster than I am. I'm going to propel us to chapter 2 of Philippians. And Pastor Morgan, you indicate we need to cultivate the mind of Christ. Give us insight as to what the mind of Christ is and how do we cultivate that?
Well, one of the problems in the Philippian church, and it was a very strong church, they didn't have a lot of problems, but there was some division there. And Paul appealed to them to follow the example of Christ, who, even though he was God, didn't cling to the prerogatives of his deity when he lay aside some of his glory and came to earth to die on the cross. And he says, be like him. Have that mindset. Be humble. Be willing to sacrifice in order to maintain relationships, love, and unity so that the church can be united in the face of what it's dealing with in the world. And so that essentially is having the mind of Christ. In a broader sense, it is just looking at all of life the way that Jesus does.
Mm-hmm.
And that kind of wisdom comes from our time in the Word of God.
And friends, it's so important, spending time in the Word of God and this book here, Whatever Happens, How to Stand Firm in Your Faith When the World is Falling Apart. Just a wonderful companion as you read the passage of Scripture from Philippians and to read the commentary and certainly the application that it has for our life as well. Our VCY bookstore is offering this through April 30th at half off. It's a hardcover book, 250 pages, 31 short readable chapters, and they are offering this half off, just $14.49 plus any applicable tax and or shipping, available at vcy.com or 1-888-722-4829. We're going to take a further look at some more of the treasure that's in this book here today. So stay with us. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America, and maybe it feels like your world is falling apart. We trust today's program is helping you to stand firm. We'll be right back.
There is a significant uptick in the intensity of the issues bombarding us. It's not a single battle being waged, but an all-out war on numerous fronts. The attack on biblical values, the demonizing of Christianity, escalating lawlessness, the emerging secular agenda, and the growing control of the populace are all unfolding. These assaults share the common thread of globalism. Globalism by the powerful elite in order to have supremacy over the people, their land, government, commerce, energy, and even religion. In the book Globalism, The Great World Consumption, author Richard Smith tackles these matters head on by not only looking at the perilous times in which we live, but to see how this lust for control is propelling us toward a one-world political system and both a one-world economic and religious system. The book Globalism is available from VCY for a donation of $16 or more when you call 1-800-729-9829.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. We're discussing the book, Whatever Happens, How to Stand Firm in Your Faith When the World is Falling Apart. Friends, we don't know what tomorrow holds for us. We do know who holds tomorrow, and our trust, our confidence, our hope is in Him, in God. It's His Son, Jesus Christ. And we see how the Apostle Paul lived his life. He said, for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. And certainly the motto that he had for his life and how we can apply that to our life is so critically important as well. We're talking with Pastor Robert Morgan today, who's author of this book, newly released. Pastor Morgan, you indicate to the reader to work out what God works in. Is that a play on words? What do you mean by that?
It's a wonderful verse in the book of Philippians. It says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, it doesn't say work for your salvation. We can never work for our salvation, but we work out what God is working in. We said earlier that in Philippians 1:6, it says that God, the one who has begun a good work in us. So, you know, I would like for the listeners just to think of themselves, look at their body, look at their mind, and inside of them, something is at work if they know the Lord Jesus Christ. God is at work. The Holy Spirit is at work. The Word of God is at work within them. And our job then is to work out into daily life what God is working in. And it goes on to say, for it's God who gives you both the desire and the ability to do His good pleasure. So God does His work. He fills us with His Word, with His Spirit, with His resources. And we are to let that work out in our relationships and in every part of our life.
Earlier, we were talking about Paul's attitude, even as he was going through difficult times, and many were concerned for him, but he saw the gospel being furthered. And you indicate we should stay as cheerful as possible in all circumstances. Even when we're in the valley, there should be something cheerful going on in our hearts. And we know Paul went through lots of hardships, but you indicate we should be cheerful but not naive. Tell us what you mean by that.
I'm beginning to think that the biggest failure of Christians, and at least in the West, is our failure to be happy. We are often so downcast or so grieved or so burdened or so busy or so overwhelmed in life that the joy of the Lord doesn't show up on our face. And I'll admit that's true sometimes for me. But the Bible talks about happiness and joy over 1,000 times. I delineate in my book how many times each of those joy-related words occur in the Scripture. And it's as though God is giving us the permission to be happy. And in fact, He says, rejoice in the Lord. Paul says that here. And so there are times when we have sorrow. Jesus wept by the tomb of Lazarus. But our normal attitude in life should be one of happiness and joy. And I don't think that is possible without letting these wonderful passages about joy in the Bible radiate inside of us.
There are many of us who go through life, and we just want to throw in the towel, you know, we're done. But you write, whatever happens, never think of quitting. Address that for us, if you would.
Well, I'm very strong in my opinion about this. We may change careers. We may at some point have a vocational transition in our life, but we never get to the point where we don't wake up and say, dear Lord, what do you have for me to do for you today? And the Apostle Paul said in chapter 3, in these rousing words, he said, you know, forgetting what lies behind, I press on towards the goal to win the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And he just wasn't, this was a man who was not going to quit doing what God had called him to do until the Lord took him home. And that's our example. I mean, Paul says, let me be your model, be an imitator of me, even as I am of Jesus Christ. So I don't want to encourage people to sit down on their front porches and twiddle their thumbs or to think of retirement as some kind of leisure activity in which all they are supposed to do is to relax and rest. We'll get enough rest in heaven. We need to take care of ourselves, and we want to enjoy life. As I said, we should be happy people. But we don't we can't live without purpose. And so this thinking, you know, Paul considered the fact that everything that had happened to him was simply preparing him for the next stage. So he said, I'm going to forget what lies behind and strain, press forward like a runner towards the goal line of what lies ahead. And I love that attitude. It's a model, and it's a example and sometimes a rebuke for me.
31 brief devotionals in this book, Whatever Happens, How to Stand Firm in Your Faith When the World is Falling Apart. You write that we should learn the techniques of spiritual self-defense. What do you mean by that?
There's a very interesting verse in Philippians chapter 3, verse 1. Paul says, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. He said, it isn't a troublesome thing for me to write that to you, but for you, it is a safeguard. And I thought, how is rejoicing in the Lord a safeguard? I'd never thought of joy like that. But when you think about it, it makes perfect sense. The devil has a hard time doing anything with a joyful Christian. Now, if we get down in the dumps and we get discouraged, he can do a lot with us. But when the joy of the Lord is inside of us and we have a smile on our face, and we have the enthusiasm that comes from happiness and joy, knowing the Lord is our Savior and that we're filled with Him and with His Spirit, then that joy protects us from depression and discouragement and feeling hopeless and all of these negative feelings that we so often have. And it protects us from the devil and his temptation. So joy is actually a safeguard. It is a means of spiritual self-defense. I had never thought of joy about like that before, but when I saw it in that verse, I haven't forgotten it.
Yeah, you also warn about error and that we need to watch out for it. Paul actually also warned about this too, did he not?
Yes, he was very concerned that there was some Judaizers he was referring to, people who thought you had to become a Jewish proselyte in order to become a Christian. You had to adopt the Jewish diet and the Jewish calendar and other things like that. And Paul actually called them dogs. I mean, he said, beware, watch out for those dogs.
Mm-hmm.
And we have some dogs around today nipping at our heels. I mean, there are so many people, even now within the church, advocating that we compromise on certain issues of sexual ethics or other things, trying to accommodate things in our churches that we shouldn't accommodate. And so one of the things that Paul was saying to the Philippians is you got to stand firm and conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of Christ and not allow these false teachers, as he put it, to intrude into your churches. And I don't know the time when we need that message more than we do right now in the evangelical church in America and around the world.
It reminds me of a passage in Ephesians as well, and having done all to stand, and we really need to do that. You have another intriguing chapter, Whatever Happens, Value Christ Over Commas. What do you mean by commas?
So when people are very, very wealthy, they compare one another by who has the most commas. So, you know, a person that has $1,000 has one comma. If you have $1 million, if you have $1 billion, if someone at some point soon may get $1 trillion, well, the more commas you have, the more money. I mean, that represents your status in life.
Hmm.
And Paul had a lot of commas, too. He said, I was a Hebrew of Hebrews, born and circumcised on the eighth day of the tribe of Benjamin. I was a Pharisee, persecuting the church. But he said, all of these things, he said, I now consider loss for the sake of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. So Christ is more important than anything that we may look to that will give us status. Our status in life, our identity is really found in our oneness, our friendship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
Friends, and this is what's so inspirational about the writings that Pastor Morgan, Robert J. Morgan, has done is, you know, we read these verses and we see all those commas, but we never think about, you know, the truth that he just brought out here. And And that aspect of valuing Christ over commas and our status symbols in life, what those commas represent, but yet it is keeping our trust fully in the one who gave his life for us. Again, whatever happens, available at the VCY bookstore. And the time is going so quickly. I've got so many questions here, but I'm going to just propel ourselves into chapter 4 of Philippians just a bit. You write that we need to improve our mental chemistry. Tell us what you mean by mental chemistry.
Well, everything we do and say and feel comes out of our minds, and we can improve our brains. So what Paul said in chapter 4 was whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is virtuous, whatever is excellent, whatever is beautiful, whatever is praiseworthy, then think on these things. Yeah. And the word think there means to allow them to circulate in your mind all the time, meditate on them, ponder them. And he says, if you do that, the God of peace will be with you. So what we put into our minds is all important. I don't think we should sit in front of the television set all day watching one news show after another. That will mess us all up. We can get the news we need in 10 minutes, but we'll need to devote that to memorizing and studying and thinking about and pondering the things that are true and noble and excellent. And the scripture is the way in which we condition our minds. And the Bible says we are renewed by the transforming of our minds, and that comes from our time with the Lord through his Spirit and his Word.
Friends, let me just get one more question here on chapter 4 of Philippians. And Pastor Morgan, many of us can readily quote Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. And many will take this as, well, literally, I can do anything I want and excel at any task. Is that what this verse is referring to?
The context of the verse is all about contentment. And I think what Paul is saying is that we can do anything that God wants us to do. We can do anything that represents his will. We can have any attitude that is godly and holy, because Christ is strengthening us and helping us to do that. He said, you know, I am here in prison, but I can have quiet joy here. I can have contentment here because Christ is strengthening me. Mm-hmm. And so that is an easy verse to take out of context.
Yes.
But I think if we just qualify it by saying, I can do anything that God wants me to do, then we're getting into the spirit of it.
Well, friends, there's so much more in this book. Pastor Morgan, what's your desired outcome for the one who reads this book, whatever happens?
I want them to get to know and to love the book of Philippians more. And, you know, I think the power in my book is just that it reflects the truth of the book of Philippians. So if a person would come away from this and say, wow, I love Philippians, I've seen it like I've never seen it before.
Yeah.
Then that's really what I would love. I would love for that to happen.
And friends, as you read what Pastor Morgan has written here, you will see things that perhaps didn't jump out at you before in this passage. And again, it's available half off at the bookstore at vcy.com, 1-888-722-4829. For our last segment, we're going to open our phone lines. If you have a question you'd like to ask of Pastor Morgan as it relates to Philippians and standing firm in your faith when the world is falling apart, our phone number to Crosstalk is 800-733-9829. That's 1-800-733-9829. Maybe there's a verse you've struggled with in this book of Philippians. A short book, but filled with biblical truth. And if you'd like to ask your question or a brief comment on our discussion today, our number 800-733-9829. We'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website is worldviewreport.com. When I went to the Wisconsin Department of Transportation website at wisconsindot.gov, what did I find? Openly on the website, Wisconsin ID card for voting purposes. And what did I find? That so-called U.S. citizens can get a free ID for voting, even if you don't have any documentation available. And then I started searching other states. Apparently, this is becoming a real problem. And then we found a flyer that is now being cited by members of the U.S. House of Representatives that was being passed out in Mexico as illegals were coming over the border, encouraging them to vote for Joe Biden so the border can stay open. How is it that illegals are voting? If you're not a citizen here, how is this possible? Well, it's because many states now are openly encouraging illegal aliens to vote. Are you concerned about this fall election?
Robert J. Morgan, our guest here today in Crosstalk, author of Whatever Happens, How to Stand Firm in Your Faith When the World is Falling Apart. And our line is open here at 800-733-9829. It's a book that works through the book of Philippians, written by the Apostle Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And taking your calls here today, questions on Philippians, maybe something has been said that you want to probe further. Our number to Crosstalk, 800-733-9829. If you missed the information on obtaining this through the bookstore, before we close, have handy a sheet of paper, pen or a pencil. We'll give you a website as well as a phone number that you may reach out with the bookstore here today as well as far as obtaining copies of the book. Pastor Morgan, I did want to bring out something else, and that is in Philippians chapter 3, verse 10. It speaks of knowing Christ, that I may know him. This is more than just a head knowledge, isn't it?
It is. And years ago when I was in college, someone gave me a copy of the Amplified Bible. And the way the Amplified Bible puts this is, for my determined purpose is that I may know him. That is, that I may more progressively come to know him more deeply and intimately, understanding the wonders of his person more and more. And I think that sums up what Paul is saying here. We meet somebody, but that doesn't mean that we really know them very well yet. And we meet Christ at the cross, but that doesn't mean that we've come to know him as well as we should. So coming to know Christ is a lifelong pursuit. We get to know him better and better until the day comes when we see him face to face.
Amen. Amen. Let's go to Sonny calling from Pennsylvania. Hi, Sonny. You're on the air.
Thank you. Thank you for your program. It's long, usefulness. And Brother Morgan, thanks for your book. I just finished reading and working through your Mediterranean rules.
I'm so glad. Well, I hope it was helpful to you.
It's a great little resource.
Yeah. I've already promised
it highly enough.
A copy.
A question that I have, or a comment, maybe more appropriate. The church, the American church today seems to have abdicated from the value of the old school hymns and how they are so sustaining when the night is very long. I know that I've encouraged folks to look at those from my pastorate, but also Psalm 121 and just process that through your heart and mind.
Yeah.
As you're going through a long evening, let me ask you what you think is the best way to get the church back to the old hymns.
Okay, great question. Until, for sake of time, Dr. Morgan, go ahead.
Well, there's a couple of things. First of all, we can keep the hymns alive in our own home for our own devotions. They keep me sustained every day. I've got a hymn in my heart every single day. But secondly, I advocate for including them in our worship services. Mm-hmm. And so I'm not shy about asking my worship pastor or my pastor, please, we'd like some more hymns in the worship service. Now, we need to do that gently and kindly, but I'm with you. I like the new music, but it comes and goes very quickly. And the old classic hymns that have come down to us through the centuries are a valuable part of a healthy Christian experience. So, yes, just keep them alive in your own experience and then advocate for them in your church or in the churches you know of.
Thank you, Sonny. And teach them to your children as well. Teach them to your children.
Yes.
Let's go to Val in Iowa. Val, you're on the air.
How do we find the balance between being aware of what is going on around us in the world and not being naive?
Thank you.
Yeah, very good question, Val. I think that we have to look at things from a biblical worldview. As we study the Bible, we see what it says about things like gender and marriage and sex, what it says about entertainment, what it says about attitudes. And so then when we watch the news and when we look at the world around us and we see what our children's textbooks are saying, then we evaluate it from the biblical grid that is growing our minds. And there's a lot of resources that can help with that. But what Paul says here is, do not be intimidated. He says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ, standing firm and not being intimidated. And I think a lot of Christians are a little bit intimidated today because the secular society is so adamant about pushing us into the margins. And if they had their way, they would push us completely off the coast of the ocean.
Yeah.
So we've got to have a biblical worldview and be able to articulate those issues. And then we have to leave the results to the Lord. You know, we can't articulate the issues and then wring our hands. We have to speak truth to culture. And then we have to trust the Lord with the result.
Thank you, Val, for the call. We're going to squeeze in Andreas from New Mexico. You're on the air. Go ahead.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. I like that, love it, actually, the power of the resurrection, you know. But if we don't use our spiritual muscle, then it has no power.
Yeah.
So we got to keep that spiritual muscle daily, almost, you know, constantly. From if you lose an object, you pray. And you find it. Okay, wow, goodness, it works. So it's that spiritual muscle that we have to constantly be using, I mean, for everything.
Yeah.
And I believe right now we're not using it, and there's weakness, even in the churches. You know, there's no power.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got to exercise that as Christians, and even praying for power, you know, even for like...
I tell you what, Andreas, we're down to 45 seconds. I want Pastor Morgan here to respond. Go ahead, Robert.
Andreas, I agree completely. And so let's go back to what Paul said about working out your salvation with fear and trembling. If you want to get stronger, you work out. You have a good workout every single day.
Yeah.
And so spiritually, we need to do the same thing. So I am with you completely.
Thank you, Andreas, for your call and to others as well. Again, this book, Whatever Happens, How to Stand Firm in Your Faith When the World is Falling Apart. VCY Bookstore is featuring this as a book of the month, 250 pages. It's a hardcover book, 31 short chapters in there, guiding you through the book of Philippians. They are offering it at 50% off, just $14.49 plus any applicable tax or shipping. Available right now at vcy.com. This ends April 30th, vcy.com or 1-888-722-4829. Pastor Morgan, thanks for being with us today.
My pleasure, Jim. Thank you.
And friends, we trust the not only the interview, but the book itself will help you to stand firm. Stand firm in your faith, yes, even when this world is falling apart. God bless you, friends. Thanks for joining us today on Crosstalk.
You've been listening to Crosstalk via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.